We'll talk about the afterlife with Matt McKay. We'll take your phone calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, with Dr. Matt McKay. Matt, did Jordan, through his writings through you, ever discuss angels in heaven or on the other side?
Well, angels are sometimes confused with souls that don't incarnate. There are a lot of souls that have finished incarnating. They've gone through many life cycles, lifetimes. They are now living exclusively in the afterlife. Other souls have never incarnated, and these souls often function as helpers, as guides, as teachers to those who are incarnating on all the various planets where we are getting bodies and learning. So the angels are really the guides and teachers who are intimately involved with helping us navigate each of our lifetimes.
And in the angelic realm, of course, can we tap into that just as freely as what you're teaching people about channeling?
Absolutely. So when you're channeling, it's really important to be able to be clear about the address to which you're sending the message and the questions. You can send messages to your guides. You can send messages to specific loved ones who are on the other side. You can send messages and ask questions of all, of collective consciousness, of God. So being clear about the address is important for, you know, for getting your question to the right place. And certainly the angels or guides that are intimately involved with our lives, showing us the way, whispering to us, supporting us, we can communicate directly to them via channeling as well as loved ones on the other side.
Matt, through Jordan, what have you learned about the other side that you didn't know before?
Well, there are just a tremendous amount of information about bardos, for example. You know, once we go to the landing place, the initial place where we, this is just adjacent to or outside of the spirit world, it's a place that's constructed of energy and safe and comforting images that soothe us. But some of us arrive there in a very disturbed state, and we may be influenced by fear, by anger, violence, despair, self-hate. So sometimes souls arrive at the landing place in a state where you cannot really enter the spirit world. You can't bring those kinds of emotions into the spirit world. And so then souls often go to the bardos. One of the bardos is the healing place. In that place, it's sort of an intake center for souls who are confused or are often continuing to hallucinate. One of the things that happens to us in the afterlife, particularly in the landing place, is that whatever we think, whatever is in our mind, can become an image. And we can project that image. We essentially hallucinate and create the thing that we're thinking about. And so some souls get very mixed up and confused because they just keep seeing whatever they fear. Mm-hmm. Whatever they are afraid is there, that's what they see. And essentially they're deaf to the guides and the souls who love them, who are meeting them. They can't even hear them. They can't hear the love because they're confused by these hallucinations or all of these enormous, overwhelming emotions that they brought with them from their last life. And all of that kind of keeps them deaf and unable to hear the love that's all around them. So they have to go to the healing place and to the special bardos where they process their emotions, all these jagged remnants of their past life. They're processing that in these special places. And souls who've done great evil are also oftentimes in these special bardos where they are kind of, you know, gradually awakening to love. But it takes time, and guys are managing all of their experiences in these bardas. So that was something that was really important to me to learn about, that you know, some souls just don't make a direct trip to the, to the spirit world. They have to go through a process of healing their energy that has been damaged by their last life.
You're talking about ghosts, and are they like spirits that just linger on? What happens to them?
Well, what happens is that at a certain, so they're hanging out, oftentimes in the place where they died or lived. They either don't recognize fully that they've died, or they're aware that they've died, but they're afraid of what is lies beyond. They're afraid of letting go of the physical plane, letting go of the familiar environments that they've lived in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually fear or very, very intense emotions like anger.
Which creates the hauntings, I would guess.
Which creates the haunting. They get stuck there. And they're resisting that tug that would pull them into the afterlife. They're really, really struggling. And they're really not able to hear or experience love. They're deaf to that. And so again, that tug to the afterlife, that tug that would bring them to a place where all is love, is kind of not fully experienced. So these people are not stuck there forever. Eventually, guides begin to support and help them make the transition. But they may actually, in Earth years, stay for quite a while. It's not the time is not the same in the afterlife as it is here. So, you know, what might seem like years here could be a few moments in the afterlife. So it's but there's a process of learning they have to go through before they can let go of the physical and begin that to experience that tug back up to the landing place and ultimately the spirit world. So it can be a real journey for these folks, but they eventually make it. No one gets stuck here. Jordan is very clear about that. These are temporary conditions, and all of these souls eventually make it into initially into these bardos, where they sort of get retrained in some way, and they deal with all these residual emotions from the past life, and then they move from there into the actual spirit world.
To the phones we go. Chucky's with us in Seattle, Washington, to get us started. Hi, Chucky. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, George Norrie. I hope everything is fine with you.
Everything's good, Chuck. Thank you.
I cannot wait for the show that's coming out here. I'm excited. Hopefully, with all the people who got their vaccines and all, can, you know, come meet you.
You should work it in. And you make sure you introduce yourself, okay?
Yes, sir. So my question was the difference between reincarnation and afterlife, because the 13-day prayer for Hinduism, when we have that, is basically, you know, we collecting all the karma points to donate towards the soul so they can have a better reincarnation. Since you said we can, you know, just meditate and can help tap into this. And how does it work? Since you said you was going to help us, because my main goal is to, you know, like get a hold of my grandparents.
All right, let's start with that. Then we'll get into reincarnation, Matt, with you in a second. But how do you help Chucky find his grandparents?
So if you want to reach your grandparents and you really want to understand where they are and how they are, I guess I'd just, if I can just briefly describe to you how to do channeling, and then you can.
And this will work for anybody, right?
And this can work for anybody, anybody. It requires no special powers. Virtually anyone can do it. So I just would encourage you, Chucky, to find a place where you kind of feel safe and grounded, a comfortable place. Could be just a nice, easy chair in your house, but something you play where you feel safe. Get clear about the spiritual address. Who are you sending this message to? You know, being really aware this is going to your grandparents. You want to talk to them. And then you select a talisman, which is an object that kind of represents that person that you're trying to reach. It could be something that they owned or something that they gave to you. But the talisman can be an important part of opening the channel. So have something that belonged to them or that they gave you. Then you use some form of eye fixation. So that candles work great. You just look at a candle, or you can look at a mandala or even a Celtic knots, whatever. Just something that can hold your attention. Just that your eyes hold and a light there. And now that you've fixed your attention on the candle, just take a breath and just inhale with the intention to open the channel. Now you're intending to open and connect to your grandparents. And what I suggest is just to do a brief meditation at this point. So, breathe in on and breathe out on the count of one, breathe out in and out on the count of two, and all the way up to 10. So 10 out-breaths. You may want to repeat that. Do 10 more out-breaths. Just do that to 10, two or three times, until you feel this kind of opening, like you're kind of relaxing and letting go. Just keeping your eyes on the candle and just doing the breathing. And the last step before really beginning the channeling is something called a light divination. It's where you imagine this orb of light, which is, you could imagine it as the color of the sun, just, a few inches above your head. And as you're visualizing and imagining it, imagining that orb growing and elongating between your head and the spirit world, goes all the way from where you are all the way up to the spirit world. Now, at that moment, when you visualize that, the channel is open. It's open. You're ready to talk. And I suggest then that you write your first question. Just literally write it down on a piece of paper or notebook, whatever you want. It really helps to actually have the words formed on the page. Just watch them form as you write your question. And then listen in your mind for the answer. Sometimes it comes as just a few halting words. In the beginning, that's often what it feels like. But write down, whatever comes up. Don't judge it. Don't form an opinion about it. Just write down the words that show up. There may be just one or two words. Then eventually, if you wait a little while, it'll eventually be a sentence. And keep writing whatever comes. So that's the key.
All right, super. And again, that'll work for just about anybody. So, folks, you don't have to keep calling Matt to ask him the same question. Matt, your thoughts on reincarnation?
Well, I definitely believe, and Jordan is very, very clear, and almost every medium I've ever talked to or heard of is certain that there's such a thing as reincarnation, and that we have hundreds of lives that we live. I'm not sure how we can, get a better life. Generally speaking, reincarnation, in my understanding, is governed by laws of karma, that we have a lesson plan for each life. There's things that we're learning that we're destined to learn. We were put in a certain family, a certain environment, a certain era of history, with certain problems, a certain body. And all of this is to teach us things, and we're going to encounter certain obstacles, challenges, struggles during that life, and all of that is part of our lesson plan, which essentially is karma. We're learning things, and we don't finish learning in one life. We continue to learn in the next life, and we're given new challenges to learn the lessons that we haven't finished. And so the body we're given and the incarnating experience that we have is really determined by each individual soul's lesson plan. What are they working on? What are, you know, some souls are working on having more courage and being willing to face difficult and painful things. Some souls are working on how to be more supportive and loving and of better service to others. I mean, there are countless lesson plans, and we're all working on one of them. And from lifetime to lifetime, we move continuing the lesson plan, and it continues to evolve. So it's not so much, in my view, or as I understand from Jordan, of trying to, you know, get a better life. In fact, oftentimes souls actually choose to have very painful lives because those are the lives where the greatest learning takes place, where the greatest growth and evolution for the soul takes place. So it's not so much having good lives, but lives that afford these opportunities to learn.
Let's go to Steve in Casa Grande, Arizona. Welcome to the show. Hi, Steve. This my Elvis buddy?
Yeah, it is. It sure is. I was going to talk about my mom died when I was 8 years old, and her name was Grace. So I was going to sing you Amazing Grace.
Did you sing that for her?
Sound. No, I'm singing it for her right now.
She probably
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
There you go. Steve is an Elvis impersonator. Met him at an event years ago. And he just sang a song to his departed mother. Will she hear that, Matthew?
Absolutely. The people we love on the other side are just a thought away. Literally, as soon as you think of that soul on the other side, the connection opens up. And they are aware of you instantly as soon as you send a telepathic thought message to them. As soon as you even think of them, it opens the channel. So, and it's impossible not to. The souls on the other side are aware of us and aware of what's going on and aware even of what we're thinking. And when we think of them, the channel opens.
Text and tweets. Tom, a real quick one for
this one in from Janine in Austin, Texas. She wants to know, do guardian angels cause miracles on Earth, and why is death painful for some and not for others?
Two-parter there, Matt.
Those are great questions. And guardian angels, in my understanding, as Jordan has explained it to me, are not guarding us against pain or against or protecting us or creating miracles that protect us from painful events. What they do is give us the strength, the fortitude to make good choices in the face of the difficult challenges we face. So they guide us rather than save us. They show us the way if we listen.
Let's talk about death. Is it painful when we come back? And then we'll take final calls. On our next Coast to Coast program, John D'Souza joins us as we talk about the Tic Tac UFOs and his take on it. And then later on, we're going to be talking about fingerprints and phantoms, paranormal and law enforcement encounters. I'm looking forward to that. And we're back with our final segment with Matt McKay. His book is called The Luminous Landscape of the Afterlife, just came out. Matt, the caller wanted to know about whether death is painful. I would guess it all depends on how you die, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the caller was really wondering why some people have a painful death and other people don't. Why the transition is easier for some than others. And one of the things that I've been told by Jordan is that how we die has a lot to do with lessons that we still have to learn. So it may be that an individual who faces a kind of longer, more drawn out and painful struggle for transition out of this world, they may be learning important things, and they may have work yet to do in their relationships to others. So someone who has a so-called easy death, who might die in their sleep or have a very brief illness, they may not have that work to do, and they may not have those lessons to learn. So painful deaths, while difficult and certainly something that we would wish and hope not to have, may be important parts of our lesson plan and may help us evolve and or do things in relationships to our loved ones here that are remain undone and need to be finished and accomplished.
First-time caller Dave in Portland, Oregon is with us. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi, fellas. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Dave. Thank you. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, Matt, I want to give you my condolences. That's got to be one of the worst things I can possibly even imagine with a child.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, on to more positive things. George, you gave me this idea for the question when you guys first started talking was just like a Ouija board.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, but he might have answered it when he said there's no hell, but is there a possibility that spirits could hijack your, I don't know what you would say, how your contact with, you know, the outer beyond, and you could be in some trouble with that?
Yeah, there's some truth to that, particularly souls that are kind of stuck here that haven't, you know, transitioned into the spirit world. They're still spending time near where they lived or near the people that they were connected to, and they're dealing with intense emotions left over from the last life, and so they're kind of stuck in this ghost-like existence. Those spirits can communicate through a Ouija board. They're not evil, and their intention is not to hurt, but they're confused, they're struggling, they have intense emotions. Sometimes they're very angry, and some of that can show up. So my understanding is that there's no actual evil spirits out there to try to harm us, but there are certainly confused spirits that are still transitioning, still struggling to fully emerge from the earth plane, and we can sometimes get communications from them.
Did Jordan ever talk about the Akashic records?
Yes, a lot about that. And, you know, there's one of the things that I think is really extraordinary about the afterlife is that we get to study the Akashic record, which is the entire history of all souls who have ever incarnated on any planet, and we can watch this. We can open it like a book, literally opening it and looking at particular moments, in particular choices, particular experiences that an individual soul has had, or groups of souls in having mass experiences of some kind. And the other thing that's very cool about the Akashic record is that you can actually go in and say, well, supposing this soul or my soul in a past life did something different, made a different choice, and you can literally observe the rolling cause and effect of that one choice across days, weeks, years, and witness what the world would have been like, what one's life would have been like, one's relationships would have been like, had that choice been different. And then you can observe it just as if you were looking at a movie. And then you close the book, you close the Akashic record, and that possible experience sort of shuts off, just like you'd closed a chapter of a book and you're no longer reading it. It ceases to actually be an active experience. But the Akashic record is exactly an opportunity for us to learn literally anything we want. We can actually also, by the way, look at the entire experience of the universe, the history of the universe. We can go back and look at the Big Bang if we want. We can look at any point of Earth's history, not just up to this moment in time, but the entire Earth history, that however far that goes, we can watch that. So the Akashic Record is an opportunity, a vast opportunity to learn. It's quite extraordinary.
Next up, let's go to Moses in Tallahassee, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hey, Moses. It's been a while.
George, and happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you, Moses.
And to you, Matt, my condolences from your experiences as well. I've been living with a serious spinal stroke since just before Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and my conditioning is getting worse. But I freed myself from the religion that I grew up in, which is Judeo-Christianity. You know, I freed myself from that, again, from the knowledge that I've been listening from since I've been listening coast to coast, and a lot of information where the spirit is leading me to freedom, you know, as far as the knowledge of holographic universe, you know, the dream theory, you know, the knowledge of energy, you know, there's no energy cannot be created nor destroyed, it changes form. So since I don't believe in this, like Matt is stating, hell or heaven are states of consciousness that we have, you know, been led to believe in these various religious belief systems. So to make a long story short, Matt, like you said, this is a very intriguing topic that you're on, that you're discussing, which is very helpful. I'm glad that I tuned into it. But how can you know when one of your loved ones have reincarnated already? I mean, if some people stay in that state, like you said, they might come back at any time and reincarnate into, you know, back into another life, you know, as a child, as a baby. And one other thing I want to mention, the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, and the movie What Dreams May Come
with Robin Williams,
Gibbon and the Cuban Jr., those are some very good movies. I mean, they are very deep, and they very helped me, and you know, with my thinking about when I transcend from this physical plane.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of reincarnation, Matt, if reincarnation is real and your loved one has reincarnated, can you still communicate with that one?
Absolutely. Jordan is already incarnated again, reincarnated into another life. And he's a young girl at this point. And he can even describe to me details of what that life is like and his relationship to his mother in that life. Here's the thing that's so important that I really want to kind of emphasize, is that part of our soul energy always remains in the spirit world. So when we incarnate, part of our energy comes and enters a physical dimension. We enter a body. But part of our soul energy always remains in spirit. So I can communicate to Jordan the part of his soul energy that always remains in spirit. In Hindu mythology, is called Atman and Jiva. So Atman is always in the spirit world. That part of our soul is always there, never leaves. Our soul group is always intact in the spirit world. Some part of our energy is always there, always participating in our soul family. And yet, part of our energy comes here. So I can communicate to Jordan. Anyone who has a loved one in spirit can communicate to that part of their energy that always remains there, even if they have incarnated, even if they are currently in another life and occupying another body. So just because the person is incarnated again doesn't mean that you're cut off from them or you can't communicate or can't channel with them, because I channel with Jordan all the time. And he is already, you know, part of his energy is living another life.
Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Matt?
Hey, in from Karen in Chicago. Do you need to be forgiven your sins in order to reincarnate?
I don't think so. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, my experience from Jordan, what he's told me, is that it's not a process of being forgiven for sins. There's no judgment in the afterlife, and there's not even a concept of sin. You go to the afterlife, and you oftentimes take time to recover from the last life. And sometimes we have very, very difficult lives, and we recover, and we do a lot of learning. We review that life. We spend time making sense of all of the choices we made, and trying to take that learning and turning it into some clarity and vision. That we can then move to the next life, carrying a little bit of that learning with us. So it's not a matter of having sins forgiven before you start your next life. It's about processing the last life and thoroughly understanding what happened, healing from some of the pain that may have occurred, and then getting ready, for the next incarnation. Oftentimes, we're shown several choices of lives, situations, eras that we could incarnate into, and all of these are opportunities to learn and teach us, and will give us an opportunity to learn something that's part of our karmic lesson plan. So it's not about being forgiven; it's about kind of getting ready and digesting all of what we've learned from the last life.
Next up, Bill in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hey, Bill, take it away.
Hey, George. Hey, George, I know you hate the Ouija board, but when I hear this gentleman speak, everything he says seems to be against the Bible, not the same as the Bible. And the Bible warns us in Timothy 4:1, chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." This gentleman is all the answers that don't seem to be consistent at all with the Bible, and just what a demon to fool people to think that there's no evil, that you're not going to be punished if you do things badly. He's pretty great. And the gentleman that called in and said that he's been listening to Coast to Coast, and now he's become a Christian anymore or the Judeo-Christian. This show is influencing people, George, and your idea of you're just basically similar to a Ouija board, bringing in evil spirits into people's lives.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Matt, I find you to be one of the most heartwarming guys I've talked to.
Well, I'm sorry that you're experiencing me that way and Jordan's message that way, and yet it's really the center of Jordan's message is love, which is exactly the center of Christianity. It's all about learning to love in the face of pain, in the face of all of the difficulties we experience in our life. The central thing that Jordan wants people to know is this: we're always together, the living and the dead. We are always together. Our relationships continue forever. Death does not separate us. We're always part of the whole, of all, of God. We're connected to God always, always. And even though we feel very alone here, oftentimes, it's just an illusion that was created for our growth. The aloneness and this disconnection helps us grow because we take seriously this play that we're in. We take seriously the struggles that we face so that we can learn the lessons that are part of every life. And we remain, and the other thing that Jordan says is so important is that we always remain united with love. And so that's the message that lies at the heart of everything that he's shown me or taught me. And it is essentially the same message of Christ, of Christianity, that love is the core of everything. And Christ says, love and then do what you will. And so that is really what Jordan is suggesting as well.
Matt, thanks for coming forward to tell us your really incredible story, The Luminous Landscape of the Afterlife. That's the name of the book by Matt McKay. It's about his son, Jordan, who, as you just heard, died tragically years ago. For Michael Cosio, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.